This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin, on alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
Cool, man. Cool.
Well, I tell you what, we had a good week last week. You were part of the Cancer Association. They had their little appreciation dinner they have every year.
Turned out well.
And I heard rumors that we're going to be asked back again for the birthday party.
That rumor's floating around. It's
floating around. It's the way it sounds like I'm getting on a new board. I don't know if my wife would like that or not, but I'm getting, I don't know.
We had a follow-up meeting last night. The cancer board did with Siteman. Mm-hmm. Went well. Got some good information from the Siteman people, and everything's
always
rolling along pretty well with the cancer
good
group.
All is good. Let's see. We have a good guest here.
Yes, we do.
Don't ask any bad questions because you might get tased today.
Yeah.
Jokingly, we got Undersheriff Rick Robbins here, and we're going to talk about holiday safety, what's going on with the sheriff's office. We'll dabble into
potpourri.
A little bit of potpourri of items. That conversation begins right after this.
Making final arrangements at the time of need is difficult for even the strongest of families. While we do everything we can to make things easier, there is a better way. At Plummer Funeral Home, we offer pre-arranged funeral planning, allowing you to make your wishes known in a quiet, dignified way. It gives you time to consider the different options and then create a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Our guest this week on the program is Undersheriff Rick Robbins. Rick, welcome back, my friend. How are you today?
Fabulous, and good morning, gentlemen.
And we are here to talk about the sheriff's office, and of course, this is, as I look at the calendar, this is kind of like a busy time for you because Black Friday will be here like tomorrow. The way time flies, it will be here like tomorrow. You've got shoppers going to be out and about, either online or in person shopping, and that brings up a whole new gamut of safety precautions that shoppers need to be taken care of.
That is correct, Tobin. As we spoke in the past few years about holiday shopping, my job, I think, is in law enforcement is more toward the safety of the shoppers. And keeping their items and their property safe along with that. And in doing so, we always talk about the parking lots, whether you're in county or out of county shopping. Hopefully you're doing most of your shopping in county when you can. But staying in lit areas, and probably the biggest thing I tell each and everyone, no matter what I'm involved in, whether it's firearms training to drugs or whatever we're speaking about that time or just in life period, is just to slow down. Mm-hmm. Holiday seasons are, like you said, will be here tomorrow, although it's not actually tomorrow, but it will seem like tomorrow. That was a great example of what I'm talking about slowing down. So as we're on the roadways going to our shopping places, slow down. We always have one or two accidents each holiday season that unfortunately is a fatality, whether it's drinking and driving around the holiday seasons or just in a hurry. Whether it's a train crossing or anything, just slow down. And isn't your shopping, as you slow down in the parking lots, you start seeing a lot more things.
So trains in Montgomery County, we don't have trains in Montgomery County, do we?
You know, there's some of them full of gold, I think.
But basically, slow down. And, you know, holiday shopping brings out, I guess, the best and the worst of people, depending on what it is.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Utter chaos. And sometimes I think bringing out the worst, the percentage is higher than bringing out the best. I believe the percentage swings on the wrong side of that pendulum. And one thing, Rick, when we talk about holidays and stuff, one thing that we always need to remind our fellow shoppers of, when you come out of the store with a bunch of gifts, don't throw them in the back seat. Put them in a trunk or somewhere where they're not visible.
Absolutely, and I'll build off that a little bit to home safety during the holiday seasons. The people out there that's going to rob your house, go in, burglaries and stuff like that, they understand those big screen TVs are more apt to be in the houses at this time. So keep those gifts away from windows. Also lock them up. If you live in a neighborhood, understand, slow down, look around as you're unloading your vehicles with all your Christmas loot and Santa Claus stuff. Just to be cautious with that also.
And that includes online shopping, and I've talked about this with you and several other people off and on. And, you know, because a lot of times to avoid the malls and that, what are they doing? They're going on the internet. They're shopping at the official website of a store, and the gifts get delivered right at the front. And if you're working like I am, sometimes a package gets left out in your front. Let your neighbor know that saying, hey, we got this coming in. If you're home and you see this, can you please pick it up, and I'll pick it up whenever I get home.
Absolutely.
Because that could be, I guess, an open invitation for anyone that wants to steal something.
It's a target-rich environment, as we say. Also, with that online shopping, be careful of the scams. There's always some type of scam around the holiday season, and the online internet scams are always out there where they're giving you a deal on a special electronics for $100 and it's costing everyone else $600. You should probably pick up some clues, as we say in law enforcement, that might not be a legit item, or when if you get it, it's not going to work properly.
And
one of the scams, and has nothing to do with the holidays, but one of the scams that amazes me each and every year, we just a couple two three weeks ago wound up the baseball season with the World Series. And I read an article in the paper of how many people in Boston and in St. Louis were scammed with tickets that were no good.
Yes.
But they went ahead and bought them, you know, and then when they got to the gate, they were told, well, this ticket doesn't apply. And people just keep, this game's as old as the country is, but people keep falling for it every year.
Yes, we like the easy route, the cheap route, and I'm one of those also. If I can find a bargain, I'll take it, but we have to use common sense, slow down, and understand money normally is not free. So anytime you can get a good deal that's too good, slow down and look into it.
They always say if you can get a deal that's too good, it probably is.
Correct.
Absolutely. You kind of hinted on one other thing. With the holiday seasons, you've got holiday parties in that. That brings up a whole new aspect of drinking and driving, and this is the time, whether it's the sheriff's office, state police, or on the city level, they're out and about, and they will be looking.
Absolutely. The Illinois State Police does a great job with the roadside safety checks, although they're not targeting DUIs all the time. It's whatever roadside safety checks that are out there. The deputies and municipalities, city police officers are always out there also, looking for whatever infractions of the law we see.
And that game has changed big time over the past, I say, 10 years. Now you've got, if you get caught with a DUI, you get the breathalyzer in your car. I mean, it's just not a hefty fine, smack on the back of the wrist and say, shame on you, don't do this again. There's a lot more detail to this now than what it's ever been.
Yes, and it coincides with the underage drinking and the Secretary of State rules of the road of underage people that are caught, their license are affected much more. There's a lot more penalty to the crimes.
Let's talk a little bit. County Board yesterday kind of changed subjects a little bit here. There's going to be a new program coming out in Montgomery County soon called Code Red. What can you tell me about Code Red?
Yes, Code Red is actually the company that is supporting this system. It will be an emergency notification for Montgomery County residents. Litchfield residents will already be familiar with it. What it is if there's bad weather, we can send out phone calls, notifications to either cell phones or your landline, and we'll do a complete press release probably tomorrow or the following day on this that'll be through WSMI and the local newspapers. So if there's bad weather, we can send out notifications via phone, email, text. There will be a way to go online to register your cell phones on the system. We'll give you all that information next couple days. And then fortunately, Crime Stoppers, the Macoupin Montgomery County Crime Stoppers, has actually paid for the first year of Montgomery County to do this, which is kudos to Crime Stoppers. Once again, they're stepping up. And their viewpoint on it is if we do have, let's say, a bank robbery in the county and we've got an idea of where the bad guy is going or heading, we can send out notifications for that. Something that a lot of people might remember here recently, unfortunately, was the Boston bombing at the Marathon. Mm-hmm. They had notifications going out to the public, so the public knew in those residents, hey, the bad guy might be in your residence, in resident area. Don't answer the door unless it's law enforcement or you know who it is. So it will be a great tool for us.
Will all local, authorities have access to this? I mean, I'll use this as an example. The past couple of weeks, we had the fatal accident on I-55 that killed, unfortunately, three individuals. Could Illinois State Police patch into that system and say, hey, we've got a accident here on 55. Please be cautious if you're in the area? Or how does that work?
It will be through the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and the Hillsborough Police Department, since we have 24/7 communication centers. And then Litchfield has their own that they're going to continue to utilize. The rest of the county, so anytime Wagner, Coffeen, Panama, the other municipalities has an issue, that's an emergency. We cannot do, actually the accident would not be an emergency. We couldn't use it then. The emergency's already over, per se. This is for, we're trying to predict other things or prevent other crimes or weather-related incidents.
And this sounds like a neat tool, and I know Litchfield's had success because I get calls from them when they use their system. This is an asset to get the word out about a potential situation.
That is correct.
And, of course, there'll be times of the year, Rick, when this will become more important, I guess you would say, when we have the tornado seasons and stuff like that, where these storms pop up almost immediately and people need to have knowledge of what's going on.
Correct. And I'll use where I live. We don't have sirens. I'm out in a rural area. We can't hear sirens. We have our little radios and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But this will be a good system where if something's headed into the county area, you will be notified, if you wish to be notified, of that event.
Speaking of Crime Stoppers, let's segue into another part of this. You're a big part of the Crime Stoppers organization. Give us an update on how things are going with Crime Stoppers.
As the example we just talked about with the emergency notification, Crime Stoppers is always a great avenue, a great tool for law enforcement. It's still one of the best boards that I've ever worked with. There's a lot of participation from the Macoupin and Montgomery County sides. The court systems do provide a lot of their revenue, their funding for items like this to be put back into the community. And then, of course, the big thing is to pay for the tips of anonymous tipsters, whether they go online through Crime Stoppers or send a text, different avenues of how people can remain anonymous in reporting crimes, which has worked out very good this past summer and fall. We've had quite a few payouts, actually.
And since we have got both Montgomery County and now Macoupin County online, they both counties assess a Crime Stoppers fee when someone is found guilty of whatever. And that goes to Crime Stoppers. And this, Rick, has allowed Crime Stoppers to do some things that otherwise they would not have had the funding for.
Absolutely. And, of course, their big event of the year is the golf tournament, which, once again, was a great attendance. Some golf tournaments you're hearing of numbers kind of decreasing a little. Mm-hmm. I believe Crime Stoppers actually had their average, or even a few teams were turned away because of the attendance.
Three or four teams away, we got to the magic number of 40, and of course, Tobin, as you well know, that over the years the Crime Stoppers golf tournament has been referred to as the Pork Chop Open. So
I heard the pork chops are pretty good there. I don't know if someone in this room has something to do
with
that.
I don't know about that. But,
he's supposed to be retired, but apparently he keeps coming out of retirement. You're
sometimes
like Regis.
I think that word is retarded, not retired.
But the Crime Stoppers is going well. One neat thing about the Crime Stoppers is and we've talked about this, Rick, the tip line option that you can text if there's something going on and you don't necessarily want to call the 1-800 number. You can text your tip and get it submitted that way. That changes the game, or go on the website and submit it that way as well. That changed the game completely.
One thing before we move on here, one thing I might mention about Crime Stoppers, and Rick's been on the board a good while, as myself, I think I've been on there 18 years, but one thing that has impressed me with Crime Stoppers, people come and people go, they get older, they retire, for some reason they can't make the meetings, they retire, but we always, Rick seemed to have individuals ready and willing to step forward and be on those boards from Montgomery or Magoopin County, and that's impressive. A lot of boards have trouble filling vacancies. People just don't want to do it, but Crime Stoppers doesn't have that problem.
Very true, and to watch so many people, as many of us are in other organizations, to see the Crime Stopper board, every month you go to their meeting, mm-hmm. and it's a packed house of board mm-hmm. members. Mm-hmm. It's not never worried about a quorum.
No.
There's always plenty of people there, and some organizations, or most anymore, trying to get a quorum is difficult at times.
Oh, absolutely.
And we have always, kudos to the leadership of Crime Stoppers, we've always had people who are willing to step up and hold office and do a good job when they're in there.
Absolutely.
Let's change subjects here. I know there's a lot of talk coming up about this concealed carry legislation. We're going to have you back to fully talk about this as this fully gets implemented. Give us a little highlight about this concealed carry law and what can be expected here.
What can be expected is I do not know. How about that for an answer?
That's an honest answer.
That's an honest answer.
As companies right now are have training available for citizens of Illinois and outside of Illinois, called not for non-state license. But most of the people now that are going to the 8 or 16 hour training or 12 hour training to apply for a license after January 1st, I believe it's January 5th. There's a lot of restrictions to it. I believe there'll probably be a lot of changes, and case law is going to dictate a lot of what the questions are that the common citizen has right now. Law enforcement cannot provide many answers of what happens if you pull a weapon and you're fearful for your life and it's a 12-year-old child that mm-hmm. is involved that may have a gun or is threatening you. There are so many things. And we can build scenarios and not answer them. And the businesses having the option to opt out of this by having a little 4x6 sign on their door may create some problems. If you walk into most businesses, there's a lot of signage on the front door, open, close, specials, holidays, Christmas, whatever, turkeys, and a little sign there that has a gun on it with a red outline and a circle and a line through it. People may not see that. There's a lot of issues, good and bad, with this. I truly support it. Mm-hmm. But coming from the law enforcement side, where I've had countless hours of weapons training, and more than that is whether to squeeze the trigger or not, to use deadly force, 16 hours to me is not enough, even though it is the most stringent in the country that I know of.
And I think you mentioned about the signs and that. I think taverns, bars, restaurants are already exempt. You cannot bring a gun into those establishments, if I'm not mistaken.
By law, it's if they make more than 50% from liquor sales, mm-hmm. alcohol sales, then it's prohibited from in there. So the owner has to know whether they sold 50% yesterday, last year, last month. I'm not for sure when it is, but if their income, their sales are more than 50%, then it's prohibited to have a concealed weapon in that establishment.
I'm going to have to do some figuring later on, Uncle Ralph. I'll tell you what.
I'm telling people to make a cheat sheet, get their license of where you cannot carry and have that with you. There are so many restrictions of where you cannot carry a concealed weapon, which some of them I support, some of them I personally do not mm-hmm. like. But to keep yourself safe on the law side, having a cheat sheet, I'm strongly supporting.
Absolutely. We've got a couple more minutes left on the show. Rick, it's always a pleasure having you here. I always enjoy our chats because it's always interesting. I always learn something. We were talking before we went on the air. There are some major problems, especially in Montgomery County, with drug use. And we were talking a little bit about how heroin has moved up the charts. That's kind of shocking.
Heroin for the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years, and it's not just Montgomery County, it is America. Heroin is on a spike increase. But I will speak on just behalf of Montgomery County law enforcement. Heroin has become a large issue, and female young abusers seem to be another target-rich environment. We have a lot of arrests and hear a lot of young females that are addicted to heroin. And when I say addicted to heroin, I'm talking about using a needle, a syringe, to inject the drug. And once you get to that point in life where you're injecting drugs for a high, you are addicted. And it's a mean drug, very similar to the other harsh drugs like meth and stuff like that.
It just caught me off guard that how much, I knew meth was always a problem because I get press releases from you all the time about XYZ meth lab being found here, there, and everywhere. But heroin, my word, that's just fascinating.
Yes, our female population at the jail because of heroin right now is out the roof, and we don't have enough space for the young addicts that need help to get away from it. But there's so much of it in the larger cities, so much of the heroin. It's easy to get. It's a cheap drug right now. You can spend $5 and get a high with no problem.
What's the way to combat this, though?
Education.
Education
is one thing. We have to keep reminding our youth, you know, even though it's a one little pill or capsule or little syringe in this, it's a mean, mean monster that once it gets their hooks in them, it's over.
And we have to have a little closer scrutiny at home from mom and dad.
Education, number one, starts, in my opinion, with parents.
Right at home.
Whether it's a single parent, grandparents, or whomever has custody of the children, that's where education begins.
And having worked at a correctional facility for 18 years and being around drug addicts and stuff, when a parent says to me, I have no idea my son or daughter was on drugs, I find that extremely difficult to believe because there's all kinds of red flags going up.
I've been doing news for almost 8 years now, and one of the most intimidating things I've ever was a part of, the county board toured the jail. And I've always been in the administrative side, but I've never been in the jail. So I took that route to hear that door shut and to see those people in that. If that doesn't scare you, there's something wrong with you, because that is intimidating at its best. It's unreal.
And we have the same customers.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Which tells you, Rick, and tells me that, Tobin, those people aren't too scared about going to jail because
Absolutely.
They keep coming back.
Rick, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to our chats in the future. Uncle Ralph, that's going to do it for this week's Wednesday talk show.
Whooped him again.
We did. And we'll talk to you next week. Until then, so long.